With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So hello everybody and welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. Now clearly the EvoStick podcast is not the BBC or TalkSport. We do not produce our programmes live. We do pre-record a lot of our interviews. And this bit of the show, the start of the show, I'm recording at 20 past 12 on Friday afternoon. And I'm shoving this bit into the show because I'm literally an hour away from publishing this week's podcast and news has broken. And it's been announced that Leeke Town's first team manager, Lee Caswell, has resigned from the club. Early on Thursday afternoon, Lee tendered his resignation. And after discussions with the club board, they've reluctantly accepted his decision. The full statement is available on the Leeke Town website. But just to let you know, dear listener, all the interviews that we've conducted on this month's show were done before this news. So there you go. Hello and welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. I'm your host Ben Hughes and coming up in this month's show, we'll be hearing from Goole AFC on their crowdfunding appeal for Jack Wheat. We'll be hearing from Scarborough Athletic on reaching the Duton final. And of course, we'll be hearing from our regulars Robin Gray and Andrew Simpson. All of that and a little bit more on this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. So welcome everybody to this month's Division 1 show. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Goole AFC and Scarborough as well, who have made it through to the Duton final later in the month of April. And of course, we'll be speaking to Simo from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian on all things Division 1 North. But to start things off with, it's customary now to start with Division 1 South, the exciting league this season. And joining me now is the rather excitable Robin Gray from Not FM, the Staffordshire Football Show. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Ben, I'm very well. Thank you for having me on again.
No problem. You should have said very excitable. That would have worked too.
Yeah. I know. You're right.
So the last time we had you on, the league was... There was a distant possibility of Shawlane Aquaforce catching Stafford Rangers up, but it's looking like it could happen.
Well, I said that they wouldn't be able to deal with those games that they all had to catch up on, and lo and behold, they've actually won most of them. I know they had a couple of draws in there, but I think as far as it goes, it's been an absolutely wonderful spell for them, and you know that they're just. Stafford have obviously had a few disappointing results. They lost to Chasetown late on. That's a big result, by the way. Both sort of ends of the playoff spectrum, and it's actually in Shawlane's hands.
I know, it's believe it or not, remarkable.
Which is absolutely, it is staggering. And the only thing I'd say about it is, little old Colville in third place have got to play both of them, and if they're cementing the playoffs and can't go up, then those two could be two very interesting games.
I mean, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, there's a precedent for this in the Premier Division at the moment with Darlington, who were quite a way back, well, even a few games ago, and they've clawed with the games in hand they've had, they've clawed it back a bit and are now in pole position despite being in second place. The gap is 7 points between Stafford Rangers and Shawlane, and Shawlane do have 3 games in hand, but I'm not seeing the schedule of fixtures that they've got lined up. Is there going to be one Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in that list of fixtures?
Looking at it now, we're at Kids Grove on 35 games, and so is Shawlane, and we've got a game this Thursday. So yeah. I'm not sure. I'd expect that to be the case. I'm sure there'd be obviously some of your listeners would be looking that up, but. Listen, they've still got hurdles to climb. There's no doubt about that. And April is an absolutely massive month in this division. And I don't just mean because it's the end of the season. I mean because there's an absolute ton of games. And that's what'll make it so interesting now between the end of the season. Stafford have only got 4 to play. And Shawlane have got 7, of course. So it's really interesting now to see... Stafford again, a couple of away defeats in there, which they won't be too happy about, but they can get a 1-0 win when they need to. And if it did come down to COVID on the last game of the season, then you wouldn't be too surprised if they did still manage to win it. And Neil Kitchen, the manager, said to me that it will go down to the final game of the season. And that, by the way, was when they were about 20 points clear.
Right.
So they clearly maybe expected something like this, but it is certainly, you know, it's exciting, Ben. It really is. I mean, I thought it was all over, and I might have egg on my face come the end of the season.
Now, we're going to do another Division 1 show in the final, before the final weekend of the league calendar, and then we're going to merge them all into one for the final week during the playoff week. So there will be time to speak before the last league game of the season. And that league game, those league games of the season are all going to matter now. Less so, I feel, for Colville. And now, we had a bit of controversy. We had a piece of correspondence in on last month's show, Robin, about this next team. It is Basford, isn't it?
Well, I always thought that, and I'm being told it's Basford. So,
well, let's go with that one listener who got in touch. God bless them. Right, okay, so Basford United and Colville Town. We mentioned this last month. They're kind of seeing out the season now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're done from that point of view. And obviously, I presume your next sort of point was going to be to come down a little bit further from there. And I'd probably go as far as saying the top six are probably done now. I know Leek and Rugby have got two games in hand. I just feel that Chase Town, with that win over Stafford, and some good results they've pulled off this season, in fairness to them, are looking really, really strong. And I think that when push comes to shove, I think that might be where we see it end up. They have lost a lot of games. They've lost 11 games, Chase Town, this season, which I suppose is given at the end of the season when you get into the playoffs. But looking at it on paper now, Rugby have really
Just a special mention to Rugby on their own, because we've been doing this show. I can't remember what edition this must be, like the seventh or eighth edition of the show we've done this season. And Rugby, early on in the season, were third from bottom, fourth from bottom, that neck of the woods, weren't they? And they've just risen up the table, and it's been really good to see. And they're the second most informed team at the moment in the league.
It is. It's staggering, Ben. It really is. And I'm not going to rule them out. I just maybe feel that top six might just be too strong. Lincoln, again, they went on that spell where they won 4 and 5 in March, and they're looking, again, very strong. Now, yeah, they lost the odd game here or there, but, you know, you look at Chase Town, got 5 to go. It may be at this stage of the season. Leek have got the Senior Cup quarter-final tonight as well. So it's all a bit, obviously, congested fixture-wise. We all know that. Yeah. We know what this league gets like. But I think from that point of view, it's exciting. But I do think that maybe, I'm not going to rule either any of the other teams out, but I do think the top six may stay like that, and Chase Town may flirt with getting into the playoffs or not. And I can't quite call it.
Good. I should say as well, Lincoln United, they've been there or thereabouts all season.
They have, haven't they? And they were sort of eighth and ninth. And
yeah, they dropped out a bit, didn't they? Yes.
Dropped out, and they've managed to sustain it again. And it's, you know, what every manager in the league says, well, if you can go on a run, you can get in the playoffs, and that's what they've done.
Now then, let's go down to the bottom end of the table, and there's a bit of an elephant in the room when it comes to the Division 1 show this month, and that's the news that broke earlier this week with regards to Daventry Town, one of the newer sides in this division this season, and unfortunately they've decided to take a demotion. The manager's left recently as well. There's talk of the club maybe becoming a community-owned club next season as well, which from my supporter-owned background, it could be a good thing for the club. But it does mean that Daventry, unfortunately, are going to be leaving us at the end of the season.
Yeah, and we're just trying to read up on it, weren't we, just before we start the interview. And obviously the manager's left, they had the game postponed, and they won their last league game on the 19th of December, which is just unbelievable, really. And at that point, everybody thought they might get in the playoffs. So it's a really sad scenario. You know, now they've just got to see virtually whether they can, like you say, losing them at the end of the season. We don't know the full story yet, but I'm sure we're expecting something imminently to come out about it, because there are lots of rumours flying around, like you said, Ben. And it's a sad scenario for Daventry, because like I say, when a club, they were doing exactly what rugby were doing and doing so well in this division.
At this moment, I have been trying to track down a journalist in that neck of the woods using my Southern League show connections, but unfortunately at the moment we're having difficulty finding someone to come on to speak about Daventry Town, but we will. I'm sure it'll all come out in the next couple of weeks or so. It's a sad state of affairs at the moment, but they won't be the first club to take a demotion due to financial issues, and they probably won't be the first club to come bouncing back a stronger club as a result. So all the best to Daventry Town in the coming months to pick up the pieces and get the club back on its feet for next season. But we mentioned the relegation battle. Obviously, Tividale, it's 12 points from safety. It's a lot to ask. And that's pretty much going to be it for the relegation battle now.
Yeah, Tividale, I think, are done now. They did have a good result, I think, a few weeks back. I think they're definitely done now. Loughborough haven't really picked up. They had the new managers come in, and it just hasn't worked out for them, I don't think. Gaul, again, they've got two games in hand on them, so you'd maybe fancy them to be able to steer away from safety. And like we say, we don't know about Daventry at the moment, but I think Sheffield FC are safe as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So because of the Daventry situation, the relegation fight was looking quite feisty, actually, between Loughborough, Gaul and Daventry Town. We're going to be speaking to Gaul in a second, but it's all
done.
normally these things are decided in June, but never mind, after the event. But never mind, anyway. So that's pretty much it for Division 1 South. We're going to come back in a couple of weeks' time for the final fixtures of the final weekend of the regular season. But it's shaping up quite interesting up at the top end, and it's shaping up, as we said, quite interesting between Chasetown and Lincoln for that final playoff spot. It'll be also interesting as well to see how... We mentioned this on the monthly show for the MPL show. How well the team who finishes second are going to cope with the playoff situation. That's always an interesting one with these title run-ins. But anyway, Robin Gray from the Staffordshire Football Show and Not FM. How could people get involved with the Staffordshire Football Show and listen in?
Yeah, well, you can follow me on Twitter at RobinGray21 and the Staffordshire Football Show every Thursday night, 7 till 8pm. Again, I think tonight we're talking to Newcastle Town. I know this goes out after the interview, yeah. Ben, but we obviously talk about Newcastle Town. Stafford Rangers, we'll have to see whether they can get promotion. Leek Town, whether they can resurrect a playoff push still. And Kidsgrove Athletic as well, who have got that wonderful Senior Cup final coming up. So it's all exciting.
And follow you on Twitter as well, Robin, where?
Yeah, at Robin Gray 21 on Twitter.
Perfect. Robin Gray, as always, thanks for joining us on the Evo Stick Division 1 show, and we'll be hearing from you in a few weeks' time.
My pleasure, Ben. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Very shortly, we're going to be speaking about Division 1 North with Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, but we're going to stick with Division 1 South for now. And our crowdfunder appeal that's taking place at Gaul AFC for one of their players, Jack Wheat. And for more on this now and to get more donations into this crowdfunder, we're now joined by the Gaul AFC chairman. It's Steve Shorthouse. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Ben.
So tell us more about this crowdfunder appeal that's been started by the club.
Yes, we decided to try and raise money for Jack after his diagnosis from the hospital that he wouldn't be able to play football again. Irrelevant of obviously him not being able to work for 6 months, this was a massive blow to him, and the fact that he just cannot even pull a shirt on again, has decided to try and focus our aims on raising cash for the lad in the short term.
I mean, for those who are unaware of the incident involved, this happened while he was playing for Gaul.
It did. The lad signed for us, unfortunately, only the night before. Our two regular keepers were unavailable through injury. Difficult then at such a late stage to try and find a player that's unattached at that time. And through people we know, we managed to get Jack on board on the Friday evening, and he travelled down to Market Drayton with us on the Saturday for his debut, which unfortunately lasted only 17 minutes. Our physio, Claire Swindle, was magnificent on the day in getting him sorted and stabilised.
So what we're talking here is a fractured skull, a fractured eye socket, a broken jaw, a compressed cheekbone. It's an horrific injury. And the club's really, really done a very good thing here by setting up this crowdfunder appeal, which is at crowdfunding.justgiving.com/Jack-Wheat. For more, you can go to the Ghoul AFC website. And how's the appeal been taken so far?
Absolutely fantastic. In fact, we've been, ourselves and Jack, have been very humbled by the response that we've got from kids offering to donate their £1 pocket money to the latest offer that we've had from one of the Barnsley FC players who are playing at Wembley this weekend. Josh Scowen was going to sign his boots and present them to one of our sponsors, who was a big Barnsley fan, on the pitch at Wembley on Sunday, which we're hoping to auction or raffle off and give the fund a great boost. So from the odd pound to the odd hundred, £200-£300, it's been absolutely fantastic.
And the aim is to raise £5,000 in 30 days, and there's nothing stopping the fund from exceeding that, is there?
We would hope not. I've just checked before you rang today, and we seem to have stalled momentarily at around, I think we're around about £1,300 at this moment in time, which again is still fantastic. But there's still a lot of events and a lot of additions to be added on. I know Frickley played last night against Nantwich. I know they're keeping coach John Hood very well, and he organised a bucket collection which raised over £100. There's one or two local teams might be doing a bucket collection for us at the weekend. So hopefully after this weekend, it will start to raise again, certainly.
And on this podcast link, we'll also, in the description, we'll put a link up to the crowdfunding page as well to get some more donations in as well for Jack Wheat. Just to minor matters now, in comparison, and that's on the pitch for Ghoul. How's this season been for Ghoul AFC?
I think we've been consistently inconsistent. I think that's about sums our season up this year. We survived. I took over the club last January when we were greatly in debt, and we had to have a large overhaul of the club. We was left with only four players when myself and Craig Winkup took over. We've stabilised ourselves last year and got ourselves set for this year. We had every game sponsored before we kicked the ball off, and we were reasonably well set off the pitch. We just haven't got the results that we perhaps our players deserved on the pitch. After every game, I seem to have the same conversation with the opposing chairman, saying, how on earth are you in the bottom two or three after playing us off the park? And we've lost by the odd goal, but we keep going. We're still in a relegation scrap. Obviously, Daventry's resignation, which was announced yesterday, will help us in that fight, which is always sad to see the demise of a club like Daventry. But we've certainly been consistently inconsistent this season, I think that's fair to say.
I mean, when you compare where Ghoul was, like you say, when you took over to where they are now, in comparison, it must be actually quite good to see where Ghoul are. You're competing at this level, and the league this season, it's not been the easiest of leagues. In fact, compared to Division One North, it's actually been the trickier of the two.
Yeah, I think when you look at the games that remain, there's probably half the teams that, or over half the teams that still even with a chance of the playoffs, and certainly four or five that are still everything to play for at the bottom of the league. And usually this time of the season, you get games that perhaps may be a little bit easier, where teams have nothing to play for, a blood in a few youngsters, and you perhaps pick results of what you wouldn't expect to, but it hasn't happened this season. It has been very competitive, and perhaps apart from the top two teams who are there where they do deserve to be in Colville, who I think were the best side we played this season, we're all capable of beating each other on the day. And it's, as you say, from where we came from in January, where we're thinking about joining the five-a-side league, because we only have four players, we are very very pleased how things happened. Local sponsors in the town have been absolutely tremendous with us and have offered us their support next season. MKM, well, Builders Merchants, we're just in negotiations with them at the moment for the shirt sponsorship again for next year. So off the pitch, it's been great. On the pitch, it's certainly been, I wouldn't say it's been great, but we've certainly held our own, and perhaps Lady Luck at times hasn't shone on us and it should have done.
And that then leads me onto next season. I mean, there's clearly optimism there, and there's clearly a glint of optimism that where the club can build on this season and move forward next season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we changed manager this season a few weeks ago. Got Lee Morris in charge now. It's his first position as a manager, and I'm sure I'll admit he's learning along the line. I've known Lee a lot of years. Through football, and at this level of football, as we all know, sometimes it's the contacts that you have that help you achieve your goals, and Lee's been in the game a lot of years, and hopefully the contacts and the addition of perhaps only just one or two more experienced players to our squad will see us hopefully at least mid-table obscurity, and we can have a nice quiet season next season.
well, thanks, Steve, for coming on the show. And one last time, a plug for Jack Wheat, his Just Giving page, crowdfunding.justgiving.com/Jack-Wheat. And the link will be available on this page as well as ghoulafc.com. Well, Steve Shorthouse, chairman at Ghoul AFC, thanks for joining us this week on the Division 1 show. And on behalf of all the listeners, we wish you all the best of luck fundraising for Jack, and all the best for the rest of the season.
That's great. And thank you to everybody out there who has offered their support. Thank you.
So it's now time, dear listener, to turn our eyes to Division 1 North. And, Division 1 North is a bit like Division 1 South in that it's very interesting on the pitch, but it's also very interesting off the pitch as well. We should mention that. It's a fun league for politics and that kind of thing. And joining me now to discuss more on the pitch than off the pitch, it's now time to turn to our regular pundit. It's Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all good. At time of recording, we're recording this on Friday. Lee Caswell's left Leake Town, which means that this podcast is now out of date. So we're going to try and keep this finger on the pulse as much as we can. In the next 2 hours, while this podcast is still current, Warrington are out in front, and it looks like they're going to stay there.
It's heading that way. I mean, the picture is clearer than it was last month, which does help us a little bit. Warrington, as we record, are 7 points away from being confirmed as champions. That's irrespective of what Spennymoor Town may or may not do. Everyone's got their calculator out this week at Warrington. We have at the office, 7 points away. They host Brighouse this weekend, so they can edge a little bit nearer. Without any question, it's theirs to lose now. They were helped a little bit on Monday by a late, late goal by Scarborough to pinch a point off Spennymoor. It's quite curious. I covered Warrington v Witton on Monday, which Warrington went on to win 4-2 after falling behind in the first half. And after full time there, the Scarborough and Spennymoor game was still going on. So the Warrington players were kind of refreshing their phones desperately to try and follow what was happening in that game. And it came through late on that Scarborough got a penalty, converted the penalty. And you should have seen the reaction and the roars from the Warrington dressing room. Now, I wasn't sure whether that was a little bit of relief that Spennymoor had dropped some points, whether they were seriously worried that Spennymoor might catch them. And we did put that to the Warrington manager on the Warrington Guardian sports desk earlier this week, and he said he absolutely respects that Spennymoor were on this ridiculous, crazy run. They had were winning every week, 12 matches in a row before they met Scarborough on Monday. And he said we were keeping an eye on what they were doing. So that goal going in added time on Monday, they were cheers a little bit of relief. I think it shows the massive respect Warrington have got for Spennymoor. I think it also shows Warrington absolutely are not resting on their laurels. They know there's a job still to do. What really impressed me in the game against Witton, Warrington didn't play particularly well. I think they would agree with that. But there was this quite calm authority with how they went about the game. Not a swagger of champions yet. But a calm authority. Didn't panic when they went behind. Witton played really, really well, by the way, on the day. Warrington just kind of went quietly about their business, got the goals they needed in the second half, another tick on the list of points they needed. And that was, if you're a Warrington fan, that should be really reassuring that there's real focus there. They know there's a cushion over the second place team, but they absolutely are professional about getting this job done. That was the most impressive thing that I took away from the game on Monday. So definitely theirs to lose now.
And we should say very shortly we're going to be speaking to Scarborough Athletic as well about their Doosan final, but we'll cover that off in a second or two. But Spennymoor on an epic run at the moment. I think in the Evo Stick MPL show, the mother show of these podcasts, we do mention close title races between Darlington and Blyth and whether that would have a knock-on effect in the playoffs with the team who just get pipped to the post and finish second. Spennymoor is slightly different because they've just been surging up of late. I don't think they expect to win the league, but going into the playoffs in good form, they're in good nick, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I do think it's a different case than Darlington Blyth. I think that's a really good point. I think Spennymoor, by their own admission, had a relatively slow start to the season. You can see that in that they've drawn 10 games, which is one of the highest in Division One North, along with a couple of other clubs. So it wasn't they were losing games; they've only lost three, but they weren't. They were left so far behind Warrington and Northwich when those two were out in front. I don't think they have at any point have considered themselves to be genuine contenders for the title. So I think they do. They are obviously going to be in the playoffs. They do enter the playoffs in a different state of mind than maybe whoever finishes second in the Premier Division. They are on this fantastic run: 12 successive wins before the draw with Scarborough. They go to New Mills this weekend, and I think what Spennymoor just need to make sure of now is that they finish second, which means that going into the playoffs, providing that they of course progress from the semi-finals, they would have home advantage in both playoff matches. So that's what they want to tie up, I don't think, for a second. And I think Jason Ainsley's gone on record, their manager, in recent weeks as well, to say he's not considering themselves as a contender for the title. He doesn't believe that they can catch Warrington. So yes, I think they are looking really well set for the playoffs. Who, you know, and they've got, if they do have that home advantage, someone's got a long goal haul up to Spennymoor on a Tuesday night for the semi and a long goal haul for the final on the Saturday, potentially. So they're in a really good position.
Now, barring a bit of a meltdown, Glossop North End at the moment, it looks like they're going to be in the playoffs. Whether they finish third or not is up for debate, but I think they are in there now. They've got a 6-point cushion to Northwich Victoria, but Northwich do have a game in hand. We'll cover Vicks off in a second or two. And Glossop are in good form. They're doing fine. They recently got beat by Clitheroe, but other than that, it's just wins. Wins and wins.
7 wins in the past 8, which is perfect timing again going into the end of the season. Kind of similar to Spennymoor, they'll want to finish third to tie up home advantage in any playoff semi-final. Whether they realistically can catch Spennymoor to get second, I don't know. That said, Glossop, we're probably looking over their shoulder really to make sure they don't slip out of the top three. But they had a little bit of a wobble at the turn of the year when they had a dip in form, and it looked like they may kind of get dragged down into that almighty scramble for the fifth place below them, but they've risen above that with a really good run of form, and they're going into the playoffs looking in really good nick, and they'll just want to finish the season on a high. Now they will have a say, by the way, in who else finishes in it, because they've still got to play Northwich home and away, so they've got an influence on who finishes in the top five, as well as obviously sewing it up for themselves.
So earlier we spoke about an elephant in the room in Division 1 South, which was Daventry Town. There is a big elephant in the room when it comes to Division 1 North at the moment, and that's Northwich Victoria. Obviously Northwich have been, were out in front for a long time, a bit of a ding-dong going on with Warrington. Then there was the point deduction, the change in manager as well before that, and they've now slipped out of the playoff places.
To tie in with Burscough and Clitheroe, they met in midweek this week. Burscough had a fantastic win beating Clitheroe 6-1. Clitheroe have been in great form, and that was a brilliant win for Burscough. And that nudged Northwich for the first time out of the top five. I think probably the first time this season. Northwich are struggling on the pitch. They've only won 5 of 14 league games since Adam Lakeman replaced Jim Gannon as manager. I had a look at that this week. So worryingly for Northwich, have a game in hand. It remains in their hands. If they pick up the points, they will finish in the top five. It's important to stress that. The one concern you would have for Northwich on the field is that all of the teams around them are in better form than they are. Just below them, Lancaster and Trafford are in great form, picking up points. Just ahead of them, Clitheroe and Burscough are in good form, picking up points. So they're going to need snookers or a little bit of help from somebody else potentially to get them over the line if they can't return to the top form they showed earlier in the season. You're right, they have had the 9 points deducted. As we record here, I am led to believe that obviously they made the statement saying they were planning to take this to arbitration. That is still the case, as far as I'm aware. So we have to factor in that they may get either that points deduction reduced or removed altogether once those arbitration proceedings take place. Don't have a date for those, by the way, So I think it's important to point out that the, I mean, Norfolk admitted this in their statement, that they didn't hide away from this. There is the potential for the season to run over the date that's set for the playoffs, because if that's not resolved by then, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it depends where Norwich are. If they finish in the top five, I suppose it doesn't matter. They're not going to get more points deducted. But if they finish outside of the top five, then that is going to become a very live issue. So watch this space on that one. I mean, if you're the FA or the football authorities, you'll ideally want this sorted before the playoffs start. But the clock is ticking. It's a tight turnaround on that. And as it stands, like I say, there is no date for that to happen, although I am led to believe that Norwich still plan to proceed and go through with those arbitration proceedings. So there could be a couple more twists and turns yet in this race for a top five finish.
And I know there's really important things at stake here, but I'm just putting my cards on the table. I've booked a holiday, so if it does overrun, then there's no podcast that week in
May. So there you
in
go.
Middle of May. So that, I'm sorry about that. I know there's other important things, but I just need to be open and transparent at this time.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Lancaster City are in the kind of, the manager said that basically they need to win all seven games. I think that's probably true.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've said in the past couple of months that there was this crazy scramble that went down to like 13th and 14th in the table. I think what we can say with some clarity now going into the final month of the season, lots of those teams have now dropped out of this race after the past months of games. And I think Lancaster are still in it. I think they're probably right. They've got very little margin for error, but they're unbeaten in six games. They're in good form. They're going to give it their best shot. Trafford, keep an eye on them. They're in great form. Seven wins in the past nine. Good win at Norwich on Easter Monday. All the old cliches, someone always sneaks up and takes that fifth place. It could well be them. They're playing well enough to do it. They're on 58 points at the moment. And also the teams above them do have a game in hand. So it's tight, but they're definitely, I'd say, going down to eighth, all of those teams down to eighth, that's the scramble now. I think Ossett Albion, they've lost five of the past seven. I think they can't do it now. And then Farsley, Mosley, Witton Albion, Bamber Bridge didn't go on the run I said that they needed to go on. I think they're all now out of the race for fifth place.
And the relegation picture, that too is looking a bit sewn up now, I feel. Obviously, New Mills with 2 points now. But Harrogate Railway Athletic, they've kind of been left behind a bit now by the likes of Ossett Town and Drawsden, despite the slip down there. That it just looks like it's sewn up now, the relegation battle.
Yeah, I mean, Drawsden were on that horrendous run where they were conceding 50 goals every game. They did pick up a couple of wins. They beat Bamberbridge and Brighouse, and that will be enough now to keep them safe. They were on a horrendous slide before that, but I think they've just done enough. The only thing I would say about Ossett Town and Harrogate Railway Athletic, they play each other this weekend. I think Harrogate now have to win that game. I think if Ossett avoid defeat, that puts them in a really good position. They picked up another point, didn't they, in midweek. So the gap is 5 points between those two now. If Harrogate can win this weekend to close that gap, then it's still potentially game on. But I think anything other than a win tomorrow, it's really difficult to see how they can get out of it. So we'll know more by Monday, I think, on that one. So watch this space.
Excellent. If you can hear some noise in the background, that's my window cleaner who's doing the windows.
I did wonder whether you were trying to escape.
not quite yet. Anyway, there's still one more month left to go, but then I'm off. So just before we go, we should mention as well Scarborough Athletic. We've got an interview coming up with them in a second or two, but an excellent performance to get through to the final of the Dudeson for the 30th of April, and a superb advert for the league.
Yeah, I mean, we should show them a bit of love anyway. They had that really long run. I think it was something like 14 or 15 games where they didn't win any league game. They've now only lost one in the past seven, so they're finishing the season really positive, which is great for them to take into the League Cup final, as well as also then just certifying their position in Division 1 North for next season. So they're finishing the season really well. Deserve a mention. Other than the teams we were talking about at the top, they're the only team, I think, in the bottom half of the table that's appearing in the upper kind of reaches of the form table, so they deserve a shout out for that reason. So well done to them, and let's see if they can go on and win the League Cup, which will put them, just ends the season on a real high for them going into next year. And I'm sure that they will, when they went into this season open to challenge for promotion, that is ideally, I'm sure, what they'll want to do next season now they've got Steve Kittrick in place there as manager.
Well, let's get this interview done and dusted and get the whole podcast out published before it becomes out of date. Andrew Simpson.
Well, anything else happens.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll call you if anything else happens. But Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, how can people keep abreast of the non-league world in Cheshire? And also give a shout out for your Twitter feed as well.
Yeah, follow the running, what's going to happen in the running, northwichguardian.co.uk, if you'll be on there. I am on Twitter at @Simo_on_sport, and I'm sure there'll be lots of thrills and spills before the end of April.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thank you for joining us this month on the Evo Stick Division 1 show, and you have a lovely month.
And you, countdown to the holiday. Thanks, mate.
So, lastly on this week's show, we've got this particular interview here. And here on the Division 1 show, we champion Division 1 clubs of the Evo Stick Northern Premier League. And one club in particular has really done Division 1 proud, and that's Scarborough. And joining me now from Scarborough, and to talk about that Duton final later in the month, we're now joined by the communication officer, it's Will Baines. Hello, Will, how are you?
Hi, yeah, I'm good, thanks.
And welcome back to the show, we should say, as well. So, Scarborough Athletic through to the final of the Duton, quite an achievement for the club.
Yeah, remarkable achievement, really, considering our league position in the table. And it just coincided with the turnaround in form that we've had in recent weeks. But going back to sort of the early rounds in the competition, when we had our former management team of Brian Hughes and Paul Foote in charge, they deserve some of the credit as well for getting us through the early rounds. We had a Whitby a penalty shootout against Whitby Town, Premier Division club, and beat them on penalties. And we've played Farsley, beaten them on penalties. And most recently in the semi-final against Ilkeston, beating them on penalties as well. So we're getting a bit of a knack of taking spot kicks.
No, it's really been excellent. And the perennial question that we've been asking about the Dudson on the main Evo Stick podcast is it a distraction? And for a period of time, Scarborough were toying with the idea of getting involved in the relegation battle, but it's kind of helped you along a bit as well, hasn't it?
Certainly, yeah. It's given us a bit of a chance to away from that relegation pressure, as you say, when we went on a really bad run during the middle part of the season, but we still managed to get through the round in the Dudson Cup, and it's been fantastic for the club to get through to the final at the end of April, and which we can, you know, hopefully round off a season on a real high.
Absolutely. And at time of recording, we don't know where the final's going to be because I think the same week of the final, I think it's the 26th, the other semi-final between Marine and Colwyn Bay. But as they're both West Coast, I'm going to assume it's going to be somewhere central, either Manchester or Leeds or somewhere that ilk, I'm imagining. Maybe not Leeds.
Yeah, but I'd like to think so. Hopefully somewhere in the middle where it's fair for both sides.
Yeah, exactly. Just to say, we'll of course be covering the Dudson final live on Whitby Town Radio, SC Radio, 26-0. We'll be covering it out all on those channels. So it's going to be a really good encounter and a really good occasion. And well done to Scarborough to making the final. And we'll be speaking to you closer to the final as well. But also, this season, for Scarborough Athletic, you know, there's been on-the-pitch developments, but off the pitch is really where it's been for Scarborough Athletic and the news of moving back to the hometown. And, well, you got an update on that, haven't you, Will, as well?
Yeah, well, construction started on the new ground at Weaponess. It's part of a leisure village complex. And that started at the end of January 2016. And work's been progressing. It's on schedule for a finish in May 2017. You can see some of the construction works down at Weaponess starting to take shape. We've got a webcam down there which is broadcasting pictures every sort of couple of minutes as construction gets underway and gets going, really. And there's movement on site with all the cranes and whatnot, and we've developed a really good relationship with the operators, everyone active, who are going to be running the leisure centre. And as I say, construction at the moment is on schedule for a finish in the middle of 2017.
And is there, I think Stamford did this, and it was a bit tricky for Stamford because then the form took a bit of a dip when they moved out of their own stadium into the new one. Is there a plan to move mid-term, or are you going to see out a season at Bridlington and then move in and start fresh?
I think the plan at the moment is to see out the next season and move in, as you say, starting afresh in the new ground. Because the last thing we want is to be moving into a new ground in the bottom half of the table, or, you know, in a relegation battle. So I think it would suit all parties if we were to move into the new ground, start afresh for that new season, and obviously have the build up with the pre-season games, and hopefully get some big sides along for the opening of the new ground, and start the season off and hit the ground running, hopefully.
Well, it's excellent news. It really is excellent news, and everyone at the club should be congratulated. It's superb. And just to say as well, you could also be in a promotion push next season. You should mention that. Dang, don't. That's a distraction. I'm always an optimist, you see. Well, that's who I am.
Over the last couple of weeks, when we've had Steve Kittrick, who took over sort of the turn of the year, end of January, a hard start, but he's really turned things around and got us on a really good run, and it's been fantastic for the fans who've not not the best of seasons, but Steve has really started to turn things around and move us away from that relegation zone. And hopefully kick on next season.
Well, hopefully it's onwards and upwards as well. On behalf of all the listeners on the Division 1 show, we can say this. In the Duton final, we really want Scarborough Athletic to win. And we hope you win, whoever you're playing. It should be a great occasion. And congratulations to the club for flying the flag for Division 1. And also congratulations to the club and the supporters as well for making that stadium happen and getting a spade in the ground. It's easier said than done. And everyone on Evo Stick Podcast wishes you well with the construction.
Thank you, and I hope we do the division proud in the cup final.
Will Baines, Communication Officer at Scarborough Athletic. Thanks for joining us this month on the Evo Stick Division 1 show. Well, that's it for this month's Evo Stick Division 1 show. We hope you've enjoyed this month's edition. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show, and you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet, that's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it from me for this month's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a big thank you, dear listener, for joining me too. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL Division 1 side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.